Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to the Addiction Solution. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran. And we wrote with Stephen Slate, co-wrote The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap. And then Michelle wrote The Freedom Model for the Family.
Yes.
And most of you know us, but we are getting a lot of new people now. Sorry, I have allergies. A lot of new people are finding out about the Freedom Model across the world. We're finding a huge influx of people in the Middle East, UK, Australia, more than ever.
And around the United States and Canada. Yeah. We've always had a pretty big following there, but that's growing as well.
So, and one of the demographics that we are getting a lot of increase in is in the porn and sex addiction, quote unquote, world. A lot more questions. And apparently it got out on Reddit and some other places that we have the book digitally for free with the code Freedom100. And we get orders gangbusters now. And a lot of questions about PMO addiction. And so we're going to address that a little bit today. We addressed it not too long ago, but we're going to hit it from a different angle today. But I also want to digress for a minute. So we have the QR code here for our free masterclass, Move Past Addiction Masterclass. So if you want to learn more about the Freedom Model, that's by far the best way to do it. It's the quickest. We do them weekly. They're free. You spend an hour with us over Zoom, and much like this format, and people learn the Freedom Model and how to move past an addiction without meetings, without rehabs, without clinics, without mat drugs, without all the recovery apparatus, which is very freeing.
And we have a focus, as you know, on substance use. But I think we're going to tweak it a little bit before this next one, next Thursday, to include some of the other addictions. And that's really what we're going to talk about today is this idea, and Jeffrey Shaler said it best in his book, Addiction is a Choice, and that is either everything is addicting or nothing is. And his book was prophetic to a certain extent because it was written more than 20 years ago. And he basically said, look at if you believe that one thing is addicting, then you're going to have to believe that anything can be addicting.
Yeah, because people conflate something they prefer and like repetitively
right.
as an addiction. So let me just say that where the Freedom Model sits on that spectrum is nothing is addicting. Even drugs that produce withdrawal is not an addiction. Withdrawal is toxicity, is a poisoning of the body.
But I want to clarify what we mean by addicting, because in today's world, addiction means something different than it used to mean 100 years ago. Addiction in today's world means your brain is biohacked and you can't, your brain is in control and the chemicals in your brain are in control and you can't control your behavior.
Right. You can't control your own mind and desires. That the biochemistry has taken the role of master and you are now a slave. Your mind is a slave to that biochemistry.
Which is not true. Not only is it not true, but it's been disproven over and over and over again. There is literally no research that supports the idea that people lose control. None.
Yeah. Stanton Peel just did an article about this topic. And he was explaining something that we've talked about for many years. And that is most people get over the problem, and most of those people are not measured.
Actually, he put up an article that was written by somebody else. Oh. That article was written by April Smith.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That.
And they pointed out the NESARC data, which is that nearly everyone gets over addiction. Nearly everyone of any kind of addiction.
So let's define, in a simple statement, the common view of addiction is that it's compelled use.
Yeah.
That's the myth. I want to be clear. That's the myth. That's the lie that we've been told for the last 100 years.
Yeah.
And people have a preference for heavy use. For people that aren't familiar with the freedom model, this is what we propose out there. And this is the truth. And that people choose their addictions. Addiction is a choice, right? So the term we use is substance use. We don't use the term addiction. Now, we're going to use the word addiction in this podcast because we have to talk in the language of what everybody says, the nomenclature of addiction, right? But when we're talking about it in regards to the freedom model, whether it's sex addiction, whether it's whatever, drugs, alcohol, whatever, what we're talking about is a preference that people build for very personal reasons and that they choose for themselves. That's not to say that some people don't feel addicted,
right?
Because our society, Western society, does that, tells you that you're powerless. Sometimes you will feel that way.
Yeah.
And your beliefs drive how you interpret something.
That's right. That's exactly right. So let's look at some of these other addictions, food, gambling, sex, pornography, shopping, like your phone. We didn't bring our phones in. Gaming, scrolling social media. I mean, many people now report that they feel a slave to these things, that the minute they hear something on their phone, they have to pick it up. They're compelled to pick it up.
Right. So listen to the words she's using. Have to, compelled. These are the words that people use because they've been taught to believe it.
Yep.
They've been taught to believe it.
And so we're getting a lot of people asking us now, they throw in scientific terminology,
dopamine,
what about the dopamine and the dopamine? Like, aren't we a slave to our dopamine? No, your brain releases dopamine every time you do something that you find
valuable,
rewarding in some way, pleasurable. You're not a slave to your dopamine. You're not a slave to your brain. Let's talk about that for a minute.
So there's a weird thing with determinists, because that's what this is. We've progressed into determinism, that you're determined, that you're, so there's a weird thing. So if you want to pick up that cup of coffee, and we talked about this in many things, but it always bears repeating. If you want to do anything, you have to think about it, right? In your mind. But what the brain centrists will do, what the determinists will do, is they will say, my brain made me do this.
Right.
So how does a brain, a physical thing, make you think something? Now, also that means that the brain, and people say things like this, my brain, I thought something in my brain. Or my brain thought. And so how does a physical thing come up with the idea of this cup of coffee?
Well, how does it make you like something?
Yeah. I want you to think deeply about this, because I've spent literally 40 years thinking about this. A brain is a physical thing. And if it is generating spurious thought, if it is the creator of your ideas, how?
Right.
Show me how a physical thing creates a metaphysical thought. And then you behave based on that, which means that there's two minds at work. That means that the brain would have to have a mind of its own to come up with ideas that it then instructs you to go do and that you don't have any control over. I want you to think about that. There has to be a puppet master. There has to be an Oz behind the brain curtain. Now, I'm going to propose something equally unprovable.
Right.
All right. So that's unprovable. And any neuroscientist will say, we have no idea what a thought is.
We don't know where it emanates.
That's right. We can look at brain chemistry till the cows come home, but we can't say definitively that that's what you're thinking about. To my mind, I'd rather think, and this could be faith as well, that I think something in my mind and then it's processed in brain tissue so that I can act it out in a physical realm. Now, my idea goes back thousands of years with philosophy. The brain-centrist idea is relatively new, probably about 500 years. They've been dabbling with this idea of your brain running your mind. So they go in that direction. Both ideas are based in faith because nobody can touch a thought. Nobody can physically grab it. But one says, I'm not in control, which is the brain-centrist says, I am a minion of my chemistry.
Right, there's no such thing as actual free will.
That's right. That's right. You are determined by some Oz behind the curtain mental being as a puppet master affecting your dopamine. And then your dopamine says, go do this. Now, I think that's a stretch, man.
Well,
because I do think things and I do have the capacity to go, oh, I'm going to stick the needle in my arm today.
Well, that's it. The problem with that thinking, this is what we're saying. What we're saying is both ways of thinking are faith-based. Okay. Yeah,
because nobody can define a mind.
Right. Because there's no proof either way of what's going on. But if you believe and you choose to believe, because it's a choice, you choose to believe that your brain is the one thing in control, then there's nothing you can do to change your circumstance. There's nothing you can do to change your life.
Except maybe take a lot of drugs.
Take a lot of medications.
Take a lot of medications.
See how that works for you.
Yeah.
But really, you're not in control. So why bother? Why bother trying anything? If you're not the one that is choosing, that is consciously choosing your lot in life, Then I guess you might as well stop reading and stop learning and stop at all of it because you're
who's in control? Who's in control? That's a great point. So if you're, and that's where depression sits.
Yeah, it does.
So what Michelle is describing is how you descend. This is why brain centrists struggle so badly in life. The brain centrist says, I am a minion of my chemistry. And they never go so far as to think, but where did my thoughts come from?
I know.
They never said, oh, there must be an Oz behind the curtain. There must be an Oz behind my brain that's telling my brain to do this. And no neuroscientist, again, can tell you that the brain, how it comes up with an original thought. They can't do that. An original thought is as simple as picking up this cup of coffee because a minute ago, I didn't have that thought. Okay. So every single thing as you move through time, you're thinking. So that means that the brain is this wild, completely unbridled thing that is in control of you, and you're in control, and you are a minion of the dopamine dumps, but who's in control of that? Who's making that happen if there isn't a mind? If it isn't you, who's making all those chemicals work? There has to be something, and what you're proposing is that it's not you.
Well, I want to just talk about my own personal experience rabbit hole for a minute and talk about being raised kind of with that brain-centered approach, which I think for children is absolutely tragic. And I think culturally, sadly, we're there in many respects. I mean, I see dichotomies of this, like on one hand, children being taught about the powers of drugs and how certain people are weak and powerless when it comes to them. But then on the other hand, there's like big signs in schools about making good choices. And it's so confusing.
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, I was taught from a young age, just like Mark was, that if I ever drank or used a drug, that I had a bad genes that would make me an alcoholic. That would mean that I was out of control. Then I was diagnosed with a mental health disorder, which my father also was diagnosed with at one point in time. At the time, it was called manic depression. We were very wide, you know, we'd go from one minute thinking we could rule the world to the next minute feeling like our lives were over. And so I had, you know, different labels thrust upon me and ideas that my brain was broken. So I rallied against that. I fought that. I learned as much as I could. I went to school for psychology because I was like, this can't be it. But a lot of the mental health world was all about your brain being broken. And I was like, could all these people be wrong? Mm-hmm. Like, but I knew that that I had periods of feeling very positive and motivated, and then periods of feeling despondent. And there was always something in me that was like, this has to be a choice. There has to be a way for me to be in control. But I'm telling you, throughout my 20s, because I was also in AA at the time, I was on a roller coaster ride. I would wait when I'd get in a positive, I would exercise. I mean, I had a great woman that helped me, who was a therapist who really tried to open my mind to the possibility that I was always the one in control. And so that changed things, but I stayed kind of on a roller coaster for a good solid decade thinking, you know, every time I was going up, up, up and feeling good that there was going to be a crash. I mean, and that's the definition of bipolar, right? I created it.
Yeah.
With my beliefs. I created it where I would have I'm not saying that there's not days that every single person in this world has very high energy. There are days you feel great and there are days you don't feel so good, right? Because of, you know, different things in your body and your body's fighting viruses and you know what I mean? So you're going to have days where you feel like a million bucks and days that you feel like you need to take a nap. But I equated that with mental health. I equated that with, oh, see, I am bipolar.
Yeah. So since you're bringing up so many points here, since both the brain centrist and the mind centrist are, when you go down the rabbit hole, based on faith, right?
Yeah.
The question becomes, which is the view that will produce happiness?
The best results.
That's right.
Positive results.
So one view has it that there is an imaginary Oz that is running your brain, providing ideas into your brain, spurious thought and original thought that is somehow chemically based. This is all sort of strange, that is chemically based, producing dopamine, serotonin, and then you act accordingly, that yep. you are, that the brain tissue is creating, and the Oz behind the brain tissue and are in concert with each other, creating thoughts and subsequently your actions and your life. And that really the only way to meter that is through medications, various therapies, and some sort of external intervention to change the chemistry and throttle back Oz and throttle back the spurious thoughts or speed it up in the case of maybe Adderall
and amphetamines,
yep. you know, and anti-depression medication, because your brain and the Oz behind it is conspiring against you. We literally use words like it's conspiring against me. And when we say me, it's conspiring against me. Now we have a third entity in that model. Of course, you have Oz that's creating thought along with its brain, right? They're sort of together. And then they're directing you, your life, your experiences. And you're like, I am totally powerless of my world. Right. So how does that make you feel? Well, I can tell you that growing up in a therapy-centered model like that, I had a gun in my mouth by 18 years old.
Right.
19.
Yeah. What's the point?
By 10, I was up on my roof and I almost jumped. 10 years old. And I was in therapy at that point for 2 years from the age of 8 when my mom left. So I look at my and now the other question is, has this view, which by the way is what drives the pharmaceutical industry, and it's why we sell mountains of pills in America, yeah, in Western culture.
Yeah.
But we see that suicide rates are up, overdoses are up, mental illness is up.
Yep.
Struggle mentally.
Emotional rates, struggles.
Emotional struggles as a percentage of population has skyrocketed with this view. And that's because it takes all of your reality of the other view away. And the other view is, I have a mind, I think, I'm in control, and I'm running my brain chemistry. And there's a collaboration between my mind, the brain, and my environment that is a flow called the human experience, and it just happens. But the good news is I have control to pick up this cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I, my mind is the operative force. Again, faith-based, because no, I can't read her thoughts. You can't read mine. So maybe I'm the only one with this view. Maybe I'm the only one with this experience. I don't know what her experience is. Maybe she's run by her brain chemistry. I have no objective way to measure that. And so I'm not going to be judgmental about it. I'm just going to say that I would rather believe I have control. Well, I would rather believe that I can pick up this cup of coffee because, God damn it, I want it. That I can stick a needle in my arm because that's what I prefer that day. That I will go jerk off to porn because that is what brings me happiness. And then I get to, if that's true, then I get to ask myself, do I really want that in my life?
Or do I really want to do it to the exclusion of other things?
That's right.
Okay. I mean, the reason we're having this conversation, partly.
Sorry, I was crass about that. But we got to talk as people talk.
You're used to him by now, yeah, if you've listened to this podcast. the reason we want to talk about this is because if you want to believe, and we don't judge it, if you want to believe that you are a minion of your brain chemistry, then maybe the freedom model isn't going to be able to help you. Okay. And because we are clearly in the camp that you are the one in control of you. Okay. And what that means is the freedom model can help with any so-called addiction. Okay. And for the people who can't see me, I'm using air quotes, any so-called addiction, the freedom model can help you, because I do understand, and Mark understands very well, feeling like you're out of control, having that perception, which becomes your reality, that you are a victim of this habit that you have, this habit. Or, you know, I mean, there are times when I feel like, you know, I'm a slave to my phone. And, you know, a lot of our work is done on social media and stuff. So if we hear that bling, you know, sometimes I'll be like, you know what? Automatically, because it happens very quickly, I want to go and I want to see, did somebody comment on something that we've done? Or am I getting a message from someone that is looking for help? But when I become mindful and I decide, I'm not going to do that today, I can.
Because it's at that moment, it's not important as it was moments prior.
Exactly. But sometimes it's habit. And what we live in a culture right now, in a society right now, where people start to become panicky because they develop habits so quickly. Look at, we are habitual.
We're habit-making machines.
We are, for a reason, to make things more efficient.
That's right.
Okay? And so, but that does not equate to you're out of control.
That's right. That's right. That is such a giant leap, because to be out of control means that something else has control. And the idea, then who?
Yeah.
Who are we talking about? Does a phone have the ability? No. Okay. Then it's my brain. Okay. What is the brain then?
Yeah.
You know, and how does it create metaphysical thought? These are things that people don't question.
Right.
You have to. And I realize that I go down these rabbit holes, and that for some people, they go, Jesus Christ, Mark. I mean, do you really have to think? Well, I'm a researcher. I do have to think about this.
Yeah,
I do have to, because I've been asking these questions since I was a little boy. And for whatever reason, it has obsessed my mind to understand what creates human behavior.
Yeah. Why do people do the things that they do?
And there's practical ideas and practical skill sets that you can put in place. And the first practical thing you can do is understand I'm a thinking, choosing, free will oriented, autonomous being.
Yep.
That has a drive to be happy.
Yep.
If you start there, your whole world will shift away from big pharma. It will shift away from rehabs. It will shift away from AA apparatus. It will shift away from recovery. It will shift away from needing people to fix me. It will shift away from, I need my environment to be better. It will shift to, I can think for myself and I can be happy no matter goddamn what.
That's right.
And that is freedom.
Yes.
So the freedom model is free thinking, everything I just described, or you can be in the control model. And that is, there is some force that's controlling you. And then there are all kinds of external things that you need from big pharma, from all this recovery apparatus to run your life, sponsors, therapists, your family, everybody making decisions for you, and you giving your rights away to the system. You want to do that? I've done it. And it's painful, and there's no end to it.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Knowing that you're in control, not just of your actions, but of your thoughts and your moods, is powerful. The mind is the most powerful thing in the world, right? It's the most powerful thing in the world. And right down to really small, like trivial, seemingly trivial things, being stuck in traffic, you know, being stuck in traffic. There's nothing good about being stuck in traffic, but do I have to be pissed off?
Right.
Do I have to be upset about it? No.
That's right.
There's nothing that says I have to be upset about it. It's not something I can control. So for me, sometimes I consciously have to shift my thinking to, okay, well, I get some time to just relax.
Yeah.
you know, when my flight is delayed, I get some time to relax and sit here. I hate being in airports, but oh well.
Yeah.
You know, I have a book, I'll read it. I have my phone, I'll play on it, whatever. Like there's, you can always shift your perspective. It's such an amazing power to have.
It's the ultimate power. It's the ultimate power. Free will is the ultimate power because it's metaphysical and it supersedes the world, the physical world.
Yes.
It's remarkable, and people literally don't know they have it.
So applying that to solving a quote unquote addiction, you know, can be, you know, when somebody will say to me, well, but you know, I really do want to drink less, but when I drink less, I feel deprived. Well, shift your perspective.
Yeah. Learn the truth about how much value drugs and alcohol actually
have.
What do they possess? And when you realize that they don't possess, once again, a mind of their own, see how it always goes back to that. Then you realize, well, geez, there's not much here.
You know?
There's a physical buzz is a physical buzz is a physical. I get it. And if you've done it for years on end, my God, you realize it's pretty mundane and boring.
It's pretty boring. Whatever activity that you do, that you're doing, and it seems to be controlling you or controlling your life, when you take a step back, you shift your perspective, you start to question, how much do I really still like this? Or is it becoming kind of boring? And
I always go back to Steve. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, please go.
What I don't realize sometimes when we're doing the podcast, I cut her off a lot. And it's because I know where she's going.
I know he does.
And then I'm like, wait a minute. The people out there don't know where she's going. So I just rudely cut her off.
Right. And so then they'll be like, we wanted to hear what she had to say.
Yeah. So
but no, but he's normally right.
Yeah. So I'll shut up here.
I want you to say your story.
Well,
about
as
Steve,
she was,
because it's funny.
Every time Steve would say, Jesus, man. I one day I was at the retreat. This is in the early days. He goes, and I just realized that chasing heroin all day long, boosting baby formula, it was just not that exciting.
It was just not that fun anymore.
Just the way he said it. I say it virtually in every podcast because it comes back to that. And
well, and it's the same thing for porn. It's the same thing for playing a game on your phone. It's like if you really sit back and go, wow, this is boring. I was never a video game person. Like I could not sit there and play a video game for more than like 15, 20 minutes without being like, wow, it was just not my thing. Right. So this idea that video games take over people's brains, the majority of people don't like them. They're like me. They're like, oh, they're kind of boring. It's funny because my son, my youngest son, is actually works for an esports organization, and he always wanted to be a gamer. Like he wanted to make his money gaming. But he loves gaming. He does love it. But he would get these new games. He's a beta tester for games, and he would get these new games, and he would play them 8 to 10 hours a day and testing them and getting, you know, reporting on the bugs and all that stuff. And he would master the game and then he'd get bored of it. Right. And I would say to him, if you want to be an actual gamer that gets paid to play, he's a manager now, an esports manager. If you want to play an actual game and get paid playing a game, you got to master it and then keep playing it. That is not, he would master it and be like, okay.
Probably like most people.
Like most people don't want to keep playing the same.
Or else everybody that gamed would be a gamer, right?
Yes.
A professional gamer.
Yes. Yeah. So no matter what you have a natural tendency to get bored. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself to get bored.
That's what I was going to say. There are, what keeps a lot of people stuck is all this mythology that your brain is in control. So they build into the habit, this weird idea that we've been talking about. And then what happens is they say, I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to get the dopamine dump from anything else. So I'll just keep going back to the poisoned well. And that to me is sad and criminal.
Yeah.
Of what the therapeutic community has done. And really, listen, now we're in a world where we're making judgments on what drug do I need to fix the problem? And
that's a great point.
And it's so strange because where this all began, where this whole thing started in the 1930s, was in the drug world trying to get people off drugs. Now the entire industry has figured out we can keep people on drugs.
We just want to put them on our drugs.
Yes. And look at, I'm not anybody again. I am not a person against harm reduction. If you are in a community filled with illegal and illicit fentanyl and it's killing your neighbors and there's danger everywhere, going to a methadone clinic and getting away from that is probably very smart.
We're not against any drugs. We're not against, honest to God, the overdose crisis is partly due to prohibition. So, people should be able to do what they want. We are against misinformation.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. The misinformation that you need. You now need methadone for the rest of your life because your brain is biohacked. You see how it jumped? It jumped from harm reduction to as a stopgap measure to save your life in a shitty community where things are going bad.
Where things are dangerous.
Yeah. A real shitty situation to you need this for life.
Well, and look at.
And that's just bullshit.
And the other part of it is, and especially, this is especially true, people that are getting help for porn addiction, for example, now are they're being told that, that they'll never, that part of their brain is broken sexually.
Yeah, they'll never have a good sex life.
And things like that. No, no, don't believe any of that stuff. Everything is a matter of your beliefs and your perspective. And yes, you can develop habitual ways of thinking, but you get to change those too.
That's right.
Okay. And you get to direct your life the way that you want. This idea, look at Mark and I were both heavy drug users. Okay. And I had a fair amount of promiscuousness in my life anyway, during that time period.
Me too.
And so if that stuff were true, then all of the people, and there are many people who did drugs and behaved the way that we did in our late teens, early 20s. Okay. There are millions and millions of people. And the vast majority of us now in our 50s, mm-hmm. right, who did that during the 80s and early 90s. The vast majority of us are married with children. We enjoy a sunset. I enjoy going out to dinner with my husband. We enjoy a monogamous relationship.
Yeah. Healthy sex life, all those kinds of things.
Like
you
haven't broken yourself. Okay. Because you had this habit and this propensity and this desire and preference for a specific behavior that you did a lot.
So let's get back to the freedom model and tie this up. So the freedom model can be applied to any habit that is destructive, that you find destructive, or that is problematic in your life. And the reason is because it's based on the premise that you have three attributes that are universal in the human condition, and that is free will, that you are choosing in your mind, your behaviors, that you are the operative force, you are the source of your actions, that you're autonomous, that you are your own person, and your desires and pleasures and the way you see the world is yours alone, and that you are driven, motivated by the pursuit of happiness, fulfillment, satisfaction, or benefits. And once you understand that, and you take all the judgment out of doing heroin, masturbating to porn, whatever, gambling, overeating, and you take the judgment out and you say, it's not overeating. It's eating the way I want to today, which is a lot. Or, you know what? Maybe I don't have to do that to be fulfilled today and tomorrow. And you know what? Maybe I can change this habit. And that's where you start. Now, if you read the freedom model, just substitute your quote unquote addiction, your problematic thing. When we're describing drugs and alcohol, just put in the word and apply it. Now, some of it won't apply because drugs and alcohol have very definable things associated
with it.
But the premise and the idea that you are in control is absolutely true with any type of addiction, because addiction, remember, is this idea of compelled use that we are debunking. So universally, addiction is seen in Western culture as this compelled thing. We have debunked that compelled thing. Get rid of the idea of addict, you know, or addiction. If once you sweep that away, what are you left with in the freedom model? A non-judgmental look at the things that you like or dislike. Now, if you have some habits that cross the line into illegality or really harming people, like pedophilia, that's a different level. That is something that we probably can't help you with. That's just been proven over and over that those people simply like that. I don't want to act as if we're the cure-all, because I'm not a specialist in that, you know? But with general, quote-unquote, problematic issues in behavior, the freedom model fits.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So remember, we have a free masterclass. We offer it every single week. For the most part, it's on Thursdays. As we come into the fall here, I have a vacation coming up. Mark has a vacation coming up. So we're going to shift the days, but we'll try and have it every single week just about. Mm-hmm. And so look for that at thefreedommodel.org, or you can go to point at it.
There it is, the QR code. If you're on a PC, hit the QR code.
Yeah. If you're watching this on YouTube, or you just go to thefreedommodel.org.
And if you're looking for coaching, if you want to have a coach teach you the freedom model, you can also go to thefreedommodel.org or get a Freedom Model online program membership, and then you can buy the classes associated individually. Associated with each lesson, if that's what you want. There's all different kinds of ways that you can do this. Go to thefreedommodel.org.
All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Take care.
Learn how you can solve your addiction for good without steps, meetings, rehabs, and endless mat regimens, and then move on with your life as a free and empowered person. Learn how by enrolling in our free 1 hour Move Past Addiction Masterclass. To enroll in this free class, click the link provided or go to thefreedommodel.org. And when you attend our free masterclass, you'll get 50% off the Freedom Model online program and now 20% off our private coaching program as well. See you at the masterclass.